From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. Lots of cities around the state into our ninth year, brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. The time is now. You can get your Lucky Buck Deer Mineral out, refreshing your spots, man. It's the springtime, believe it or not. Despite what the weather tells you, the calendar says it's spring. That means it's time to put your Lucky Buck out, lucky-buck.com. Also, our friends at Darton Archery celebrating 65 years in the archery industry, and also HHA Sports. Out of Wisconsin, the leader in single-pin sight technology and some great technology for archery, for crossbows as well. New announcements coming up in April, and hopefully we'll be talking with Chris Hamm on the next show about what HHA Sports has in store for you, the archery enthusiast. But right now, we're going to start the show off with a friend of ours, someone that has been in the publishing end of things for quite some time, Woods and Water News. Randy Jorgensen joins us, 30 years this year. Welcome to the show, Randy. How are you?
Thank you. I sure appreciate it.
Oh, not at all, man. It's Woods and Water News, and I found out, I ran into Tom Campbell at the Ultimate Sports Show over the weekend. 30 years you guys have been put together. In 1985, you put together a little insert in local paper in Imlay City, and it seemed to catch on with the sportsmen in the area.
Yeah, it did. That's exactly how it started, and it's amazing that it's been 30 years. I just don't know where the time has gone, and we're so fortunate that it's something we've been able to do for that length of time too.
I look
it's been enjoyable.
Oh well, I'm sure. Well, you don't not do it for 30 years. I mean, look, some of us slave away on a line for 30 years because that's what we do. That puts food on the table. But when you can enjoy what you do, it really does help things. And when you put together this first small paper that went in as an insert, I look back at 1985. I look at outdoors television had not begun to be the monster that it is now. We relied on local TV shows, Fred Trost with Michigan Outdoors, and the like. And then the national guys were like Bill Dance and Roland Martin and Babe Winkleman. But to start something like that on a local basis, what made that light switch go on?
Well, looking back at it, we were kind of pointed in a lot of different directions. We had a little weekly paper, and when I say weekly, my family's been in it. My mother-in-law, father-in-law, my wife, and later Tom Campbell was my brother-in-law. So, and now my son's in the business. So, when I say we, it's really a family effort with what we've done, but. For me, when that light came on, I was looking for some revenue so I could buy a fishing boat so I could drift fish the St. Clair River, and I needed $160 a month. So I came up with I happened to be reading, I think it was Parade magazine, and that's inserted in the daily newspapers, and I saw that Michigan had the largest boating registrations in the United States, more boats registered than anywhere. And I said, man, there's a market there. Maybe I can do something with boats. And I kind of liked hunting and fishing, of course. And it just kind of evolved from there. So I said, well, I'll do a special section in our weekly and see how it goes. And I was surprised at the number of people that said, hey, when are you going to do that again? Several people came in off of it, just from a local mm-hmm. standpoint. I think we printed, maybe 3,500 of them. That was about it. And it just kept going and going and going. And I had, You know, it had its ups and downs. It struggled, of course, but you know, once we really, really got a good handle on and a good philosophy of what we wanted to be, it just grew tremendously fast. And you know, I guess it was just an idea where it was its time. You know, it was the right idea at the right time because people were looking for something.
Speaking with Randy Jorgensen.
We were able to provide that.
Speaking with Randy Jorgensen here from Woods and Water News, the 30-year history is kind of what we're covering. Yeah, Randy, it's funny. I was working with my friend Steve Gruber on his outdoor show that aired on WJR before I started my show. He asked me if I would help produce. I said, sure. Then I got the bright idea, hey, why don't I do an outdoors radio show? Well, sure. Somebody actually said, okay, yeah, go ahead. And I'm like, oh, no, what am I going to do? So we grabbed guests that we figured would be good in the outdoors. And, you know, that's much like your paper. We've been able to help people and learn so much along the way. And you guys have learned quite a bit. And to have that grow in just 1 year, because the following year you started the Woods and Water Outdoor Show up in Imlay City, yeah, which still remains today.
Yeah. And again, that was... You know, I was driving by, we were coming back from a show over in Port Huron, an outdoor show in Port Huron, and I had gone to every show that I could possibly think of to, you know, to hawk subscriptions and sell ads and do whatever I could to keep this thing going. And long weekends, and, you know, I was coming home late on a Sunday, and I drove by the fairgrounds as I'm coming home here in Imlay City, and I said, you know what? Instead of me traveling all over the state of Michigan, we should do our own show. You know, that would really bring a lot of attention to our, you know, our fledgling publication. So I knew the guys at the fair board, and they, you know, we said, look, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but, you know, if you guys will, you know, give me a little bit of a break so that I can afford to get this thing started, you know, let's try it. And he goes, sure, let's try it. We need something. And you know, they're at the fairgrounds along those lines, so let's do it. And that's how that started. So some friends, making an acquaintance.
Sure. And now you have this 29 years of this event. A lot of those, again, I've gone to. And to me, it's a combination of things. It's seeing the friends in the industry, which is always great. People like Richard P. Smith, Greg and Fred Abbas, who are there all the time. Guys that you have access to be able to talk to in person. Not only are they doing the writing and the videotaping, the creating of their the things they make for outdoors enthusiasts, but they allow themselves to be present for you, and to have those people is so important to us, you know, and oh, we really applaud you for that.
Oh, well, you know, same thing. I learned from those guys as we moved along, and you know, you just don't start out having all the answers, and if you associate yourself with some good people around you, then, you know, I mean, I can think, you know, Bob Gardner, Jerry Gepetta.
Oh, sure.
Jerry and Rita both, Howard Shelley, you know, all people have come to the show. Tom Hugler,
sure,
they were all instrumental in helping me and helping us think along the right lines to help this thing grow and prosper. Which it has. You know, you get
sure
a good listener and surround yourself with good people.
Randy Jorgensen is joining us here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast, pick up our Links to our sponsors like HHA Sports, number one selling single pin adjustable bow sight in the world. And they also have some great abilities for you to extend your crossbow's range and accuracy, firearms range and accuracy. Again, you can go to HHASports.com, a direct link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. And again, you can pick up the podcast there for the show absolutely free. Speaking with Randy Jorgensen, Woods and Water News, 30 years is what they're celebrating, 29 years of the Woods and Water Outdoor Show. Randy, you've gone from the initial 16-page little tabloid to 160-page full-color publication. You've got 30 outdoor writers, a lot of them I know and have had here on the show that are all great people. 20,000 subscribers, 2,500 newsstands throughout Michigan, Northern Ohio, and Indiana, bringing those stories that at one time I actually had the privilege and honor to be a part of with Jerry Lambert when I drew an elk tag 2 years ago. It's involving real people with real stories and just, again, keeping it real for that amount of time that has given you the success.
Oh, no question. And I think underlying all this is that Michigan has such an incredible list of talented outdoor writers and photographers. So, you know, they're the ones bringing the stories to us. We're just kind of the vehicle to help them share their story. And I think that's been the success of Woods and Water News. Is it's, you know, it's not just a set group of people who only write for one publication. These are freelance writers that are extremely talented, and and our pages are open to them and have been open, and that's us. You know, that's what Woods and Water. And a guy off the street can send us a photo and write a story about his experience, and I think people appreciate that.
Speaking with Randy Jorgensen from Woods and Water News here on Wild Michigan. Randy, the Michigan is not shy of manufacturers for the outdoors either, which is, you know, surprising to a lot of people to see how many factories we have here. I mean, people producing equipment like Dart and Archery, like Boning, like Oneida Bows, like Eppinger Lures. There are just so many things here, and people just don't know, but yet you guys bring that to us.
Well, not only do we have the great writers and the, you know, photographers, but there's just a culture of the outdoors here in Michigan that you know, it's just been so strong for so many years. And, you know, it just stands to reason from our point of view in our business that if we can help tell a few stories about that culture, people are just going to eat it up. And, you know, over the years they have. And it's part of the success of the magazine is the state itself, of course.
Absolutely. Randy Jorgensen is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Randy, over those 30 years, there's been some great stories. There's been some controversy. Of course, last year we had the Dingman family and the albino whitetail. Anything stick out in your mind over that time as boy, we can't believe that happened?
Yeah.
There's got to be a few.
Well, I've heard some pretty incredible stories, as you can imagine, from outdoorsmen from all over the state, and incredible shots, incredible catches, but I would think probably the Mitch Rampala story probably hit pretty hard for a lot of people here in Michigan. And, you know, whatever you believe or don't believe, it was a big story. And that's probably one of them, I would think. The bear hunting, the dove hunting, all the issues that have been out there, we'd like to believe that we've at least been a good sounding board for people to debate those issues. And I think that's important, too.
You know, you brought up the exact story that was in my head. You brought up the Mitch Rampala story. And that was one that, you know, I still remember that whole story. And the debate still goes on with social media. That story will be thrown in. And that's something that you guys have, you have kept up with the times, which where some have not, with an online subscription you can get. When so many newspapers, the Lansing State Journal and others, go from this monstrosity of a newspaper that they used to be down to the leaflet size. You guys have not shied away from what you do.
Well, you know, I think it's very difficult for dailies. The technology hurt dailies severely. And here we're a niche product. Our weekly paper is a niche product. And the news that we provide is for a certain sector of the population, and as long as we provide them information that they want and information that they can't get someplace else, I don't see any reason why print can't be successful. But dailies, it's that information you can find anywhere. You can find the world information anywhere with technology today. So it's no question they're going to be heard.
And again, it is nice to know that, if you don't want to pick up that newsstand subscription, you can still subscribe online and you're getting the same stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, online, Facebook, Twitter. Oh, my goodness. It's we're talking back 30 years ago when every page was put together with a pair of scissors and a razor blade, incredible what we're doing now. And much easier, too, by the way.
Well, I'll be honest with you. For 16 years, Randy, I was a printing press operator. I knew how to strip negs, how to opaque them out, and run the press. So, you know what? I feel your pain. And being in media, I'm so glad. Being in radio, rather, I'm so glad I got out of that end of the industry, because I knew that technology was going to pass me by someday, and there's no way I could get back into it.
Oh, it's crazy. But, it helped us in other areas bring people into our pages. It's that we may not have been able to do otherwise. But I can tell you that from Woods and Waters' perspective and going to outdoor shows, which I know you have as well, Greg, but to say that young people aren't reading, it's just not the case. They are reading. It's their decision on what they want to read. That's the bottom line. And, we get young people coming up to our booth all the time that are just going, oh my gosh, I love this magazine. And, they buy subscriptions and take the free copies and away they go. So there's young people that are, a vast majority of the young people are reading, but they're reading what they want to.
All right, appreciate you joining us here, Randy Jorgensen. Woods and Water News, happy 30th. That's coming up here. And again, the Woods and Water Outdoor Weekend coming back to Imlay City. We appreciate you joining us, sir.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Good luck.
Thank you. You too. More coming your way here, wildmichiganradio.com on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Randy Jorgensen from Woods and Water News for coming on board for the first couple of segments of the show. Lots more coming your way. We're going to be speaking in the next hour about the Armed Forces Salmon Assault, a chance for some random members of our Wounded Warriors to get out and do some fishing, charter boats take a fleet out of Muskegon, and they will get these guys hooked up. We'll talk more with Ed Schroeder in that segment in the next hour of the show. And if you miss any of this show, you can always go to our website, wildmichiganradio.com, pick up the podcast if you miss any of it here on our great affiliates. Now, here we are. It's March. Next month, April 20th, starts our turkey season. But what about whitetail? Why should we think about whitetail right now? Well, if you've ever thought about hunting out of state, with a guide, you probably should have been thinking about this a while ago. But our friend Bryant Shermo with Shermo Hunting ShermoAdventures.com, Shermo Adventures LLC, is on the phone. He hunts Iowa exclusively, and he is on the phone to tell us, Bryant, when, if we have the inclination, we have the money set aside, when do we need to start thinking about getting a guide for an Iowa hunt?
It depends on what you want to do, Duran, but like an archery tag, and it depends on the unit too. We're in zone 4 down in Iowa. It would take 3 to 4 years to draw that tag. You would put in for a preference point in the month of May, and you'd start accumulating points every year. It takes 2 to 3 points to draw our archery tag.
And that's for out-of-staters?
Right, non-residents. Residents can just buy tags over the counter.
Okay, I was going to say, man, are they can't be that scarce over there.
No, they're not that bad.
but
they only treat us non-residents that way.
in Michigan, you can at least buy over the counter, but you're not, because, look, we all know about the hunting pressure, and everybody has an idea as to what guidelines should be for harvesting bucks here in Michigan, but Iowa doesn't have quite the pressure we have, and as far as out-of-staters, they're going to make you work for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't have as many residents either, so they're just not killing as many deer there. The deer numbers are, even after, a few years ago we had the disease issue through the whole country, but our deer numbers are just huge. Like in January, we went out in a few blinds, and there was, we'd see over 20 bucks a night in some of our blinds. So, I mean, they have big deer numbers, but they manage their deer herd differently than ours. They do a totally different job of that.
How are they doing that? Because, look, we have the combo tag. You can buy, you can get one antlered buck, and then there's restrictions on the second. And like I said, we all have an idea as to how it can be run. We're armchair NRC members that can do it all better, but we don't live it. But how is Iowa different from here in Michigan?
Well, registering an animal is different there. Like when we kill a deer in Iowa, we have 24 hours to call that animal in. So that they get an exact number of how many deer they kill. When they run their gun season comes in the first Saturday in December. So they kind of miss the whole rut, unless we do some secondary rut in December, of course. But, they don't run any corresponding gun seasons with any of the rut, so nothing in November. Shooting does, you can shoot a lot of does there. We kill a lot of does. We have to kind of keep our numbers in check. But they do a lot of things differently there.
Bryant Shermo is our guest here. Shermo Adventures, LLC, 100% Iowa Hunts. And this is why I think a lot of people are traveling out of state, traveling to Ohio. Indiana is becoming a very big place, but you've hunted Iowa. How long have you hunted Iowa and guided there?
Oh, gosh. You're going to give away my age. I couldn't even tell you, Duran. I've been there over 20 years.
Okay. Well, you're a young guy.
I started going there years ago. I could even be 25 years. I started going there years ago. I drew a tag. I went out there and killed a dandy buck the first time. And it just kind of grew from there. I went and leased a few farms. I saw the advantages of doing that. I bought a farm out there. And just kind of took advantage of that paradise that there is out there.
And now it's a destination location, hunting Iowa. We've seen some of the pictures, the bucks, good maturity. What's the average maturity level that you're seeing, a rough year age, that they are reaching for your hunters on guided hunts?
Well, we shoot for, age class four years and above. The problem is because I'm a resident of Michigan. I live in Michigan, and so most of my clientele is from Michigan. So when I have a guy come out from Michigan, he's never seen a 130-inch deer. A lot of them haven't. So the first 120 buck walks by him, and they want to cap it. They want to take it. pretty hard to tell them no.
You know what? I got to admit, I'm that guy. I'm that guy in this stand going, oh, my God, that's huge. And you're like, no. No.
We're not going to shoot that one. We actually have a rule of a 130-inch rule, but I don't enforce it for guys that if it's their first year out with us, just because, like I just said, when they see a 110 or 120-inch buck, they've never seen one of those in Michigan a lot of times. You know, a lot of guys have, but a lot of guys haven't. So it's hard to enforce that law, or that rule upon them when they've never seen a deer that big.
You come up to that point. Let's put this into hypothetical situations. You come up to that point. You've got 120 coming across, and guy, gal, whatever says, "Oh God, this is it." You know, I can only imagine what they're going to go through. I mean, do you prepare them that you're going to tell them no?
Well, a lot of times they're sitting alone, so there's nobody there to tell them no. You know, it's not a lot of times there's not a guide sitting with them. So there's nobody there to guide them. To give you an example, a couple of years ago, this was I think 2 years ago, I had a friend of mine brought a friend with him. He killed an 8-point. It was just a dandy 8-point. It was, you know, a really solid 130, 135 8-point. And he was on cloud 9. And he was the only guy that killed a deer that day. It was opening day. The next day, we brought in a 183 and a 166. And the guy saw then the potential of what he could have done. And he went from dancing around the bar at night to realizing what he could have shot.
Unbelievable. You know, and I don't, it's funny. Look, 130, I'd take it all day long. But, you know, but then again, this is you have to put into perspective that you are in a different place. Things are managed differently. And look, it's like bear hunting. You know, if you've never been bear hunting, that bear comes in, that thing is a monster. You shoot it, it's 85 pounds. You know, it's perception because of what you're used to, what you haven't been used to. And again, you know, hunting Iowa could be a whole different experience. And we're speaking with Bryant Shermo of Shermo Adventures LLC, Iowa Deer Hunting Adventures, and we're getting a basic taste of the possibilities and how things could go. And you know, let's put into another hypothetical. We draw our bow tag. Are we hunting tree stands, or are we hunting ground blinds, or what do you have set up?
I have everything. We have a lot of tree stands. I couldn't tell you how many. I remember one time we counted them. We had over 160 stands. We run on almost 5,000 acres of ground. But we hooked up with Shadow Hunter Blinds, and we've done a lot of work with them. In fact, the guy that owns that, Jim, he comes out and hunts with us every year. And I don't even know how many Shadow Hunters we have out there. I know we have over 30, maybe 35. He sends out a truckload of them every year. So we do a lot of work with him. So we have a lot of comfortable box blinds, and we can bow hunt. We buy gun bow combo box blinds. So if we got guys that, you know, that aren't real comfortable climbing a tree, we try to put them in some place that they are comfortable. So we usually go to the box blinds at that point.
All right, we're speaking with Bryant Shermo. ShermoAdventures.com is his website. We'll throw up a link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Bryant, hang on. We're going to talk more about hunting Iowa. Talk about maybe hunting with a gun. Maybe figuring out how to go about contacting you. So hang on the line. We're going to speak more with Bryant Shermo here. It's Wild Michigan. You're listening to us on the Michigan Talk Network, wildmichiganradio.com.
Hi, this is Larry Weissman, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. WildMichiganRadio.com is where you can find us. Speaking with Bryant Shermo, S-H-E-R-M-O-E. Adventures.com, talking about Iowa deer hunting. You can give Bryant a call or check him out online and find out more about booking your Iowa hunt. Real quickly, before we get back into deer, Bryant, you said off air that you guys do the first turkey season out in Iowa as well.
Yeah, we do. We hunt April 13th is our opening day for the first season. It usually turns into a shed hunt too. We pick up quite a few sheds. We've had years where we've picked up over 100 sheds before.
Wow.
So that's kind of exciting too. It's always a lot of anticipation when you see when you're picking up 150, 160 sheds. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, shed meaning they're still probably there, which is nice.
Well, they are there. I mean, if you're picking up the shed, they
have
sheds with horns. So yeah, we're picking up sheds like that. It's really amazing. Some of the deer that you thought you've kind of had a real good clue what you had on the property, even when you have all your trail cameras out, and then you go pick up these sheds that you've never seen those deer before. So it's pretty cool stuff.
Definitely encouraging. Speaking with Brian Shermo here, ShermoAdventures.com. Real quickly on the turkey, are those Easterns that you're hunting out there?
Yes, they are. Yep.
Okay, good. Just wanted to double check on that. Now let's get back to the 5-day Iowa hunts that you do coming up. Again, you can register for your tags in May. Is there a date specific that we need to get in on this?
Yeah, I believe it. I haven't looked at the exact dates. Sometimes they change them a little bit, but it's usually, I think it's May 2nd and into the first couple of days of June that you can apply.
Okay, now I'm looking at accommodations here with the lodge. It looks very nice, very comfortable, not terribly rustic, but super comfortable.
It is. We took an old pole barn and just built a lodge inside of it. It was on the farm that we purchased, and it's real comfortable. It's really fun.
It looks like the amenities are nice, and when you're out hunting 5 days, and We've done these self-guided hunts in Wyoming, and you know, when you don't know anything about the area, not so much, man. It's a learning experience. I could probably go out and do it again, do an antelope hunt in Wyoming again. I know that much now. But when you're hunting someplace like Iowa, especially for big whitetail, you know, you need somebody to help you with this. And this is why we're talking with you here at Shermo Adventures LLC. Let's talk a little bit about the gun hunt. Rifle, shotgun, are they two different seasons like Michigan? Or
yeah,
two different areas,
basically,
rather?
We run three gun seasons. The first one we hunt is, they're all shotgun, by the way, but you can use a muzzleloader in any of them. And then late season, the muzzleloader season. The first season is the first Saturday in December, and that lasts 5 days. The second season is the second Saturday in December, and that lasts a week. And then we kind of take a break. I kind of take a break and go home for Christmas and stuff. And the muzzleloader season goes till January 10th. And then we hunt the last week of the 5 days or week of that. So those are the seasons and how they break down. But it's all shotgun except the muzzleloader season. And like I say, you can use muzzleloaders in the shotgun season.
Okay, so it's not like we have the above 57s, the rifle zone, and now we have the straight line bullet, the one that everybody got confused at down here in the southern region last year. But shotgun and bow, how are they with crossbows in Iowa?
I think they're still the way we used to be. I think you have to be handicapped. I've never had anybody try to even draw that tag, the handicap tag, so I don't really know that much about it, but I'm pretty sure that they still, you have to have a handicap thing from your doctor, or written slip from your doctor, or something like that to obtain one of those.
Now let's talk a little bit about pricing. Not exactly exact numbers, but for the price of a hunt, should we book with you? What is included? It may be a little bit in detail as to what's going on, when we book a hunt for the 5 days.
We charge $4,900, and we get that across the board for our archery hunts and our gun hunts. They're all the same. We lodge you, we feed you, pretty much take care of everything. We don't process your deer or anything like that. There are places right there in town. They have a thing called the Hush program, that if you do want to donate your deer, you can donate it. The local lockers take those deer. They charge every license that everybody buys. I think they take a dollar out of the license or something like that to provide that, and then they take that. You can donate your meat like that if you choose to do so.
That's pretty good. And do you get a lot of people that are willing to donate their venison, that they're there for the trophy itself, but yet the aspect of donating the venison is pretty good for them?
Well, in our non-resident tags, any tag that you draw for non-resident tags, you get a buck tag and a doe tag. It's automatic. You get two tags. And so a lot of guys, you know, when they shoot at some 4 or 5 or 6 year old old ancient buck, sometimes those aren't the best eating. So a lot of times they will donate that, and they'll shoot a nice doe to take home to eat. At least that's what I do.
Yeah, after a while, you know, hamburger gets okay, but maybe you want some of those more tender cuts
for your venison. Yeah, they just grind all the meat that you donate. So
right, exactly.
If, you know, they can use that meat up.
No, and that's a good thing. We've done that when we could here. You know, I've done it once or twice, and you know, it's a pretty good feeling to be able to do that when you know you have enough of your own venison to be able to help. You know, here we have the HOPE program, helping other people eat. We have Michigan Sportsmen Against Hunger, and anytime that you know you want to make donations to those, you can do so throughout the course of the year with venison, and it's always nice to be able to help somebody like that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So now you're going to be gone here before too long with turkey season. Do you have many people signed up for that?
Yeah, and actually, yeah, I do. We don't overbook any of our camps, even of our gun camps. I think I've only got 5 or 6 turkey hunters right now. We it's an outstanding turkey hunt. If we get good weather, we usually shot out the first morning. I mean, it's I've stood in one spot there and heard 20 toms gobbling before. It's just from all around you. It's just as good turkey hunting as it is deer hunting. The turkey hunting is phenomenal. So that's really good, too. But we keep all our numbers down. Even our gun camps, we try not to book any more than 10 people per camp. And it's kind of unusual for us even to get that many. We try not to book too many guys. We're not a camp that you're going to go to and they're going to run, 100 guys have passed through there before you. And I know you've heard that story a million times, like I have. So we're not that kind of a camp. It's kind of funny. Most of our gun camps, because it's a gun tag's a lot easier to draw. You can draw a gun tag just about 50% of the time with 0 points. So guys that are even thinking about coming this fall could possibly draw that tag. With 1 point, it's almost 100% draw. So
that's pretty good odds. I mean, when you're looking at a place like that, Iowa, roughly what time of type of drive are we looking at, say from mid Michigan?
Yeah, it's about 10 to 11 hours. It's a real easy drive. Just jump on 80, buzz out to Des Moines. We're an hour and a half southwest of Des Moines. It's nothing to it drive.
No, 10 hours. See, I can do 10, 12. I don't mind that. It was the 24 to Wyoming that I really didn't care for.
No, but I know. I used to drive to Montana. It was 27 hours where I used to elk hunt. It was just ridiculous, but I used to still go over here.
Yeah, no, I mean, you get it. You do it after a while. But speaking with Bryant Shermo here, ShermoAdventures.com is where you can find him. A link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. How was the winter out there last year? Because we had a short but bitter cold winter with a lot of snow.
You know, they don't get the snow that we do. I mean, it's not uncommon for us to have 4 or 5 inches of snow in that in the January hunt. But it's like most of the time, their weather's usually historically about 3 weeks ahead of us. Like, I know they're supposed to see 70-degree weather there in the next few days. So, you know, I mean, when like last winter, I had a lot of people say, well, what happened last year for, you know, all the snowfall and stuff? They didn't have any. I mean, it got cold there, but they didn't have any snow on the ground. And when they don't have snow on the ground there, those deer can literally eat all they want because you can walk through any corn or bean field and see corn and beans laying everywhere. So it didn't affect our herd at all. We didn't lose anything.
Boy, that's kind of nice. You know, maybe hearing that and hearing the weather patterns, maybe Iowa would be a nice place for me to retire because I'd be able to hunt more. Or maybe at least work as an assistant at a certain guide facility. I don't know.
There you go.
Maybe I can do that. Bryant Shermo, I appreciate you joining us, man. Anything else you want to touch on real quick before I cut you loose? We still got about a minute left.
Gosh, I don't think so. The turkey season's coming up. We're real excited about that. We had some extremely big deer last year. We're hoping to find those sheds. The problem with those sheds is, you know, when they lay there just a little while, they get chewed up so fast. Sometimes I think when they drop them in the woods, they'll lose them in just a week. I think they'll be completely gone from squirrels and rabbits.
All right, Bryant Shermo. Check him out. So much. Thank you so much for joining us. ShermoAdventures.com. You can book your Iowa deer hunt, maybe some turkey hunting. You can find it all at WildMichiganRadio.com. Another hour coming your way next.